We want allies who can defend themselves so that no adversary will ever be tempted to test our collective strength. This is why we do not want our allies to be shackled by guilt and shame. We want allies who are proud of their culture and of their heritage, who understand that we are heirs to the same great and noble civilization, and who together with us are willing and able to defend it. And this is why we do not want allies to rationalize the broken status quo rather than reckon with what is necessary to fix it.
As President Macron said in Davos, Europe is sometimes too slow, for sure, and needs to be reformed, for sure. But we absolutely know what we are and what we stand for.
This is my video update on this Sunday afternoon, February the 15th, coming to you from Larnaca, Cyprus. Let's talk about some news. And let's start things off with the death of Alexei Navalny, who died in a Russian prison about 2 to 3 years ago, I want to say. But the investigators in the UK and in Germany, France, the Netherlands, and Sweden, so the UK and four other European countries, they have investigated his death. And yesterday they announced that Alexei Navalny probably died from poison. He was poisoned. And we're not talking about Novichok or something like that. No, we are talking about a very rare poison that they claim was most probably Russia's doing. They are saying that Alexei Navalny was poisoned with Ecuador dart frog poison. Frog dart poison. Ecuador frog dart poison. Very lethal stuff. Very rare lethal method of poisoning. A very, very rare lethal method of poisoning. Ecuador dart frog poison. That is what UK intel and four other European countries claim led to Navalny's death. Probably at the hands of Russia and Russian President Vladimir Putin. Vladimir Putin, the worst poisoner in the world. He always gets caught. The absolute worst poisoner in the world, that Russian President Vladimir Putin. And he decided to go, most probably, according to the investigators in the UK and in these four European countries, Putin decided to go with Ecuador frog dart poison. Interesting method for Russia to go with in order to take out Navalny. How did they figure this one out, you may ask, you may be asking. Navalny, he died a couple of years ago. His autopsy, his body was in Russia. It never left Russia. All the investigations, the autopsy, everything was conducted in Russia. So how would these countries, these intel agencies and these investigators, how would they be able to figure out that he was poisoned with Ecuador dart frog poison? How would they be able to figure this out if they never had access to Navalny, to his body? I was asking the same question, my friends. And so I decided to ask Grok AI. Grok AI, please tell me, if the UK and these four European countries did not have access to Navalny, then how did they conclude that it was this very, very rare poison, this Ecuador dart frog poison? Russia going all the way to Ecuador. Ecuador dart frog poison. How did they figure this one out? And Grok AI gave me the answer. The determination was made through laboratory analysis at facilities like Horton Down in the UK, based on biological samples smuggled from Navalny prison cell shortly after his death. They smuggled the samples out. So they had people on the inside. The UK, Germany, France, Netherlands, Sweden. They had people on the inside in the prison, working in the prison, working in the hospital maybe, where the autopsy was conducted, working for the FSB. Who knows? We'll never find out, because they will never want to give up their sources, will they? But according to the report, it was smuggled out of the prison, a sample. That's quite the operation. Quite the intel operation from the UK and the four European countries. It adds a lot of credibility when you say it's five countries that conducted this operation and this investigation. I imagine it was a very, very thorough, detailed investigation and lab work to come up with the conclusion that it was Ecuador dart frog poison from the samples that were smuggled out of the prison. It almost sounds like a movie, but it's not. It's not a movie script. It's not something you saw at a movie theater. You saw on Netflix, nothing like that. This is reality. These are facts. These are facts that I am giving to you as reported by the Collective West mainstream media. Can't figure out Nord Stream. Can't figure that one out. Epstein? Have no idea what's going on with Epstein. Epstein in his cell? Don't know anything about it, any of that. Can't figure any of that stuff out. But Navalny, they figured that one out. They figured that one out. Yep. Ecuador dart frog poison. Those are the frogs. I've seen videos on YouTube about these frogs. Very lethal stuff. Those are the frogs that when you take your dart and you dip it in their skin is this jelly goo. And when you take the dart and you dip it in their jelly goo skin, whatever, and you shoot that dart, it's lethal. That's what we're talking about here. Incredible stuff. Incredible development. And all of this announced during the Munich Security Conference. That's just a coincidence. They didn't deliberately time it to come out during the Munich Security Conference. They didn't deliberately time it to come out right before the third round of negotiations between the United States and Russia. They did not time it to come out during a security conference where all of the collective West is talking about going to war with Russia. They're afraid that the U.S. may be negotiating some sort of deal with Russia while Europe is not at the table. They're even worried about Macron, who is now talking about opening up some sort of dialogue with Russia. This announcement was not timed to coincide with all of this, okay? And Portendown is where Novichok and the Skripals, right? That was the lab that did all of the work for Novichok, or it was the lab where, yeah, it was the lab with Novichok, Portendown. I'm not wrong about that, am I? Interesting. So the whole Novichok Skripals thing, Portendown, and now you have Ecuador frog darts poison, Portendown. Okay. So they figured it out. An amazing operation to smuggle out the samples. And then an exhaustive, extensive, very detailed, I would imagine an exhaustive, extensive, very detailed analysis of these samples to figure out what Russia had done. I don't know how they deal with the whole chain of custody and making sure nothing was tampered or messed around with. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. There's no need to worry about tampering of these samples or chain of custody. And don't worry about that. That's not important. The important thing is that these amazing intel agencies, in a very James Bond-like manner, along with, the UK, in a very James Bond-like manner, along with their four partners, France, Germany, the Netherlands, and Sweden, they figured it out. According to The Guardian, Russia killed Alexei Navalny with frog toxin, UK and four European allies say. Navalny, the Russian opposition leader, was killed by dart frog poison administered by the Russian state 2 years ago, a multi-intelligence agency inquiry has found, according to a statement released by five countries, the UK, France, Germany, Sweden, and the Netherlands. The US was not one of the intelligence agencies making the claim. All right, that's good to know. That's good to know that the US was not involved in this. Why would the US be involved in this? UK, France, Germany, the Netherlands, and Sweden are sovereign, independent countries that can absolutely operate without the influence of the United States. So there's no reason to have believed that, or to have even thought for 1 second that the US intel agencies may have advised them or consulted them or been behind this. Thank you, Guardian, for pointing out the fact that the US was not involved in this. Very good reporting from Guardian to make sure that they slipped that sentence right in there, that the U.S. was not involved in any of this. All right, let's continue from the Guardian. The U.K., describing the poisoning as barbaric, said it would be reporting Russia to the Organization of Prohibition of Chemical Weapons as a flagrant violation by Russia of the Chemical Weapons Convention, the CWC. The intelligence agencies claimed laboratory testing found that the deadly toxin in the skin of Ecuador dart frogs, epibatidine, was found in samples from Navalny's body and probably resulted in his death. The statement adds, only the Russian state had the means, motive, and opportunity to deploy the lethal toxin to target Navalny during this imprisonment in a Russian penal colony in Siberia, and we hold it responsible for his death. Probably, they say, it resulted in his death. Probably. But then the statement goes on to say that it was, they believe it was Russia, because they're the only ones that had the means and the motive to do this. I can tell you another country that had access to Ecuador dart frog poison. I can tell you a country that had access to this poison, probably a lot of access to this poison. Ecuador. Maybe Ecuador did it. Did you guys ever think of that? Maybe it was Ecuador. They have a lot of dart frog poison, a lot of dart frog toxin. They might have done it. Ursula was quick to jump on this news, and she posted on X, five European nations have determined that Russia poisoned Alexei Navalny. five European nations. If it's five European nations, then it must be true. If it was one or two European nations, then I would have my doubts. But the fact that it's five European nations, then it must be true. Anyway, we continue. This was a cowardly act from a frightened leader. He's very frightened. Russia has long acted as a terrorist state, relying on terrorist methods, poisoning political opponents, silencing journalists, invading peaceful neighbors. This is the true face of Russia today. We honor the memory of Navalny and all those whom Putin's Russia has violently silenced over the years. You know, I believe that Navalny's wife was actually at Munich, which is interesting. But what was she doing at Munich? I think she was at Munich. Maybe I'm wrong about that. But anyway, doesn't matter. Not important. The terrorist state of Russia, the true face of Russia. Russia, a terrorist state. Wasn't Ursula just the other week meeting with Al Jalani? Wasn't she meeting with Al Jalani? I think she was meeting with Al Jalani. Anyway, not important. Not important. Russia, a terrorist state. And Ursula is very upset about that. So anyway, that's Ursula condemning Russia, the true face of Russia today. And Ursula would never mislead us. Never. Didn't she say that she was going to, or that her plane was landing in Bulgaria and it was the Russians that messed around with the GPS, or what was it? Do you guys remember all of that? The GPS interference, and the pilot had to land with maps, and they were blaming it on Russia. And then it was proven by flight radar that that was all made up and false. That's what flight radar showed. Ursula would never mislead us. She would never mislead us. What am I thinking? You know, I remember when this happened, and the Russian investigators, they concluded that it was a blood clot. And something interesting happened. Udanov, the top spy of Ukraine, the top spy chief, military intelligence, Udanov, he actually made a statement agreeing with Russia. He said that what most likely led to Navalny's death was indeed a blood clot. Well, what do you know? I have here the Post, where Budanov says as much, from the Kiev Post. HUR chief Budanov confirms Navalny died of detached blood clot. Ukraine's intelligence says the cause of Russian opposition's death aligns with initial assertions made by the Kremlin, February 26, 2024, about 2 years ago. Wow, interesting. Almost 2 years to the day, huh? Wow, that's interesting timing. Very interesting timing. Also, 2 years ago, it was also the Munich Security Conference, around that time again. Just coincidence. None of this is scripted, everybody, but Budanov saying that the cause of death, according to his intel agency, aligns with what Russia is claiming was the cause of death, the blood clot. So that is the Navalny news. That is the Navalny story, everybody. So let's talk about Munich. Unfortunately, let's talk about the Munich Security Conference. And we had the big speech from Marco Rubio. And his speech, well, his speech was all about empire, in my opinion. The collective West and empire. The collective West, the unipolar moment of the collective West, according to Rubio, does not have to die, does not have to fade away. This is a choice. a choice for the United States and its collective West partners, its vassals. They make the choice of whether they want the empire to fade away. So far, according to Rubio, they've been doing a very poor job of keeping the empire going. Rubio's speech was very much a speech expressing the United States' unhappiness with how their European partners, their European vassals, their partners, have been helping them run the empire. Very, very disappointed with the way they've been helping the United States run the empire. So Rubio's speech was a pep talk. It was a pep talk, actually. I didn't think about that. It really was a pep talk. Europe needs to shape up. Get your act together, Europe. Get your act together, collective West vassals. EU, Europe, UK, Australia, Canada. Get your act together, shape up, and start helping us run the world better. That was his speech. We do not want allies shackled by guilt and shame. We want allies who are proud of their culture and heritage and are willing to help us defend it. You know, to his credit, Rubio did not mention Project Ukraine at all. Actually, he mentioned Ukraine once in passing. Just once in passing. And it was about how the U.S. is trying to solve the mess that the U.S. is partners, have got themselves into. You got yourselves into a big mess with Ukraine. We're here to fix it. And then he said he said that the U.S. is sorting out Europe's security. It's sorting out NATO. It's sorted out Venezuela. It's going to sort out Iran. It's going to sort out Cuba. That was his speech. Kaya Kallas was not happy. She was not happy with being talked in such a way, talked down to by Rubio. But he wasn't talking down to, it was a pep talk. I mean, the Europeans should not look at it as something bad. Think of it as the head coach talking to a losing team, a team of losers, and trying to motivate them to do better. Think of it like that. But Kallas was not happy. Look at the flamingos. So that was Rubio's big speech. Very big speech from Marco Rubio. The United States is not abandoning the transatlantic partnership. They're not abandoning Europe. They're not abandoning NATO. They just want their partners, their partners, not vassals. What am I saying? They want their partners to just do better. Just do better. Help us manage the empire better. Let me zoom in to the flamingos. There we go. All right. So, shall we cross? Let's cross. Let's cross over. So then things went really crazy at Munich. Things went really crazy. So Kaya Kallas, she was on a panel, I believe, with Mike Waltz, the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. It's Mike Waltz, right? Yeah, it's Mike Waltz. Anyway, she was on a panel with that guy, and Kaya Kallas was telling Waltz. She was telling Mr. Waltz that when Russia goes to war, Russia has no allies, no friends. They go alone because they don't have any friends. But U.S., United States, you guys have us. You're a superpower because we're by your side. When Russia goes to war, they go alone because they don't have allies. When the U.S. goes to war, a lot of us go with you. And we lose our people. You also need to be that superpower. You also need us to be that superpower, Callis said. We lose our people, she said. But we do it because we're your friends. Wow. They've been telling us just yesterday, Whitaker was telling us that China is supporting Russia, completely supporting Russia. And the minute China decides to pull the plug on Russia, the conflict in Ukraine is over. And now Callis is saying that Russia has no friends. They have no allies. They have no BRICS. They have no one. Whenever they go to war, they go alone because they have nobody. But when the U.S. goes to war, they have us. They have the Europeans. We follow you, America, and you need to show us some appreciation. You need to say a thank you. That was Kaya Callis. She begs the U.S. to let the EU to be vassal states. Yeah, she's begging the United States, let us be your vassals. Let us be your vassals. Kaya Callis, she gave a speech too. She wasn't just on a panel, on many panels. She actually gave a speech, just herself, just her and the audience. Today, she gave a speech. That's how you know the Munich Security Conference is hurting when they have to get Kaya Callis to be a speaker. That's how you know they're hurting. It's like watching a 10-year-old give a speech on geopolitics. But anyway, I digress. She gave a speech. She gave her speech at Munich. And she said that Russia is no superpower. It's no superpower after more than a decade of conflict, including 4 years of full-scale war in Ukraine. Full-scale. You have to say full-scale. Russia has barely advanced beyond the 2014 lines. And the cost? 1.2 million casualties. Today, Russia is broken. Its economy is in shreds. It is disconnected from the European energy market, and its own citizens are fleeing. Wow, it's Russia disconnected from the European energy market. That sounds pretty serious. It's disconnecting. Russia is disconnecting from the European energy market. Its citizens are fleeing. There's a mass exodus of Russians leaving Russia. Its economy is in shreds. It's worse than tatters. The economy is in worse shape than tatters. It's in shreds, not tatters. It's in shreds. Sounds pretty bad. Russia is broken. And all of this started in 2014. I thought it started in 2022. So weren't they telling us that this started in 2022? And please do not say this started in 2014. This does not go back to 2014. Isn't that what Callis and all of the EU officials and globalists and the United States, Biden and Sullivan and Blinkety Blinken, weren't they telling us that this does not go back to 2014? This has nothing to do with the coup. Or, well, Russia says it's a coup. It wasn't a coup. It was a democratic movement, revolution, dignity, whatever. Not a coup. They were telling us all of this. Weren't they telling us this? Has nothing to do with 2014? And now they're saying this goes all the way back to 2014. I don't know how all of this works. I'm very confused. Very confused. Kaya Callis also said that contrary to what some may say, woke, decadent Europe is not facing civilizational erasure. In fact, people still want to join our club and not just follow Europeans and not just fellow Europeans. When I was in Canada last year, I was told that over 40% of Canadians have an interest in joining the European Union. So the waiting list is quite long. I just hope that those who have been waiting for quite some time will not have to wait for longer. Okay. So she was told this by last year, either Carney or Trudeau told her that 40% of Canadians want to join the European Union. So a number based in fact, in research and science, 40% of Canadians want to join the European Union. That's what she was told by Trudeau or Carney. Okay, right. She also stated that Russia does not want peace. If the size of the Ukraine army is limited, then she said that Russia should also, yes, she also said that Russia should limit its military size. So these are the terms for peace. So she put out her terms again. If there's any terms put to Ukraine about the size of their army, then she said that Russia also has to have its army limited. This is the minimum that Russia should agree to if its goal is peace. She also said that there should be a war crimes tribunal, no amnesty for war crimes, war criminals, all of that stuff as well. So she put out the terms for Russia's capitulation and surrender. So she told that to the audience in Munich. And then you had Sikorsky. This is going to be a long video, by the way, so buckle up, everybody. I'm rambling today. I'm talking today. Beautiful walk, though. It's a beautiful walk on a beautiful day. So Sikorsky, not to be left out. Thank you, USA Nord Stream. Sikorsky. Europeans can't solve Nord Stream. They can solve Siberia, Navalny, smuggling out the frog poison. They can't solve Nord Stream. Can't solve that. Too hard. But Sikorsky, he said that if Russians cross the border and start killing NATO citizens, we activate the plan. The plan is simple. We win, they lose. That is a great plan. That's a great plan. I like it. I like that plan. We win, you lose. It's good. Very good. I wonder who came up with that one. Yeah, sounds solid. Sounds very, very solid. So if Russia attacks NATO, the plan is activated. But what's the plan, Mr. Sikorsky? The plan is simple. We win, they lose. That's the plan. Perfect. Sounds great. Wow. And then you had Frederiksen, the Prime Minister of Denmark. She was not going to be outdone by Kallas and Sikorsky. Hold my beer, said Frederiksen. Hold my beer. She said that it's time to strike Russia. Long-range missile strikes deep into Russia. It's time to hit Russia. Hit Russia hard. That was Frederiksen's message. Denmark's Prime Minister has called for strikes deep inside Russia, saying that the Russians only understand strength. You cannot win a war just by having weapons on your shoulders. Ukraine must receive everything it needs to win, Mette Frederiksen emphasized. Yeah, she also said that that Russia's losses are 35,000 in 1 month. They're repeating this number, this script that they've been given, the 35,000. I already talked about where that originated from, most likely where that originated from. She said that if it were in one of our countries, it would be a major disaster and we would never be able to forgive ourselves. But it's Russia, and they don't count soldiers by the number of 35,000. We have to compare it with the Soviet, with the Second World War and the numbers they lost there. We cannot compare ourselves with the mindset in Moscow. Yeah, that mindset in Moscow. Can't compare ourselves with the mindset in Moscow. An economy in shreds. People fleeing Russia, Russian citizens fleeing the country. Ecuador, dart frog poisoning. Horrific. Absolutely horrific. 35,000. That's the number that the whiz kid, new defense minister, put out there, that the UK intel is putting out there now. Everyone is repeating. The 35,000, that's the theme of this Munich Security Conference. I'm going to tell you guys the theme of the summary of this Munich Security Conference. The summary of it all is 35,000 in 1 month. Russia's losing the war. Ukraine's winning the war. And we need to go to war with Russia. We need to prepare to go to war with Russia. Russia can't defeat Ukraine, and it hasn't moved 1 millimeter from 2014, but it's going to invade Europe And we need to prepare for that. And they're very excited to go to war with Russia. This is true. They're very excited. The conference shows a type of intoxication amongst the European leaders at the prospects of some sort of military conflict with Russia, even though, according to them, Russia hasn't been able to move 1 millimeter since 2014. So that's Fredrickson. You got to strike deep into Russia. She also said that the Greenland thing has not concluded, that Trump is still eyeing Greenland. She's still concerned about Greenland, Fredrickson. So not to be outdone by Fredrickson, Kallis, Sikorsky, not to be outdone by all of them, we have Hillary Clinton. What is she doing in Munich? Don't know, don't care. Who cares? She's there. She's there. And Hillary Clinton, she decided to speak about Project Ukraine and the terrible, evil Putin. And she said that it's time to give Ukrainians tomahawks, give them more missiles for their Patriot defense systems, allow them to inflict more damage beyond the border into Russia. She wants tomahawks. She wants tomahawks, Hillary Clinton. Yep, that's her solution to Project Ukraine. Tomahawk missiles, strikes deep inside of Russia. Hillary Clinton telling everyone else, hold my beer, hold my beer. Sikorsky, you have a plan. They lose, we win. Fredrickson, deep strikes into Russia. Kaya Kallis, Russian economy in shreds. Hold my beer. Tomahawks, that's my plan. Tomahawks. Hillary Clinton, what's going on with the Epstein files? What's going on with the Epstein files, Clinton? Anyway, don't talk about the Epstein files. Forget about the Epstein files. And not to be outdone by Hillary Clinton, by Fredrickson, by Sikorsky, by Stunning and Brave, not to be outdone by all of them was Keir Starmer, 008 Keir Starmer. Hold my beer, says Keir Starmer. Russia is losing. That was Keir Starmer's message. Russia is losing. If we stop the war, he said that Russia is going to rearm and it is going to attack us, the collective West, NATO. The war must continue. Russia is losing. They're not gaining any territory. But if things stop, if there's some peace, if there's some negotiation between the United States and Russia, then Russia's going to rearm and they are going to attack us. So the war must continue. It must continue according to 008 Keir Starmer. If you say Russia is losing enough times, this is the Munich mantra. Let's call it the Munich mantra. If you repeat Russia is losing enough times, Russia is losing, Russia is losing. Say it all with me. Globalist political elite of Europe. Russia is losing, Russia is losing. Say it enough times, who knows? It might actually come true. Maybe that's the plan. Maybe that is the plan. So we have the Australian defense minister speaking at Munich, and he is trying to figure out why China is building up their military. He can't quite figure it out, Australia's defense minister. He's giving a speech in Munich, and he's saying, I can't figure out why is China building up their military? Why, oh, why? It's not as if we're threatening them, are we? Do we have a bunch of military bases and military installations all around China conducting all kinds of regime change operations in their neighborhood? Why are they building up their military? Can't figure it out. The Australian defense minister simply cannot figure it out. Maybe one day it'll click. And not to be outdone by all of these people, we have Le Goblin Vert. We have Le Goblin Vert. And Zelensky, he gave his big speech at Munich. Yes, he did. Zelensky, he said that if there is a 2-month ceasefire and the U.S. wants elections in Ukraine, then he's cool with that. He's down with that. But according to Zelensky, Russia must also hold elections. We can also give a ceasefire for Russians if they will do elections in Russia. So elections in Ukraine are now contingent on elections in Russia. That was his message. He opened up his speech by talking about Iran and regime change in Iran. That's what he opened up his speech with. Very important, Iran to Zelensky. Very important to get a regime change in Iran. And then he made fun of Orban. He made fun of Orban's weight. He said that even one victor can think about how to grow his belly, not how to grow his army to stop Russian tanks from returning to the streets of Budapest. So he made fun of Orban's weight. He made fun of the way Orban looks. Has Zelensky seen himself in the mirror lately? I don't think he has, because he looks like he has been on a two-month bender. We're talking a two-month party escapade with little to no sleep. That is how Zelensky has been looking lately. He does not look good at all. But anyway, Orban and his belly, that's what Le Goblin Ver wants people to focus on. So Orban, he replied to Zelensky on X by saying, "Dear Volodymyr, thank you for yet another campaign speech in support of Ukraine's accession to the European Union. It will greatly help Hungarians see the situation more clearly. There is, however, something you misunderstood. The debate is not about me and it is not about you. It is about the future of Hungary, Ukraine, and Europe. This is precisely why you cannot become a member of the European Union." And to finish things off, the Green Goblin was given an award. Actually, Ukraine was given an award by none other than, let's walk back, none other than Tusk. Tusk gave an award to Ukraine, and Tusk said that even the Nobel Prize would not be enough for everything that Ukraine has done for Europe in protecting Europe. By the way, the fresh prince of Langley, Mr. Pahlavi, Reza Pahlavi, or whatever his last name is, the man who's the exiled prince of Iran, who claims to be the exiled prince of Iran, he gave a speech at Munich as well. The fresh prince of Langley. Fresh prince of Langley, Mr. Reza. Calling for a conflict with Iran, for a regime change with Iran, right? Echoing what Zelensky talked about. The foreign minister of Iran, Arachi, said that the Munich Security Conference has turned into a circus. A circus. So in Geneva, Witkoff and Kushner are going to be at the Geneva talks. I don't know if I mentioned that yesterday. And I think we can do a clown world. Do we need to do a clown world? Let's do a clown world and wrap up this video. So Mark Rutte in Munich, as he was speaking in Munich, he revealed that when he visited Kiev a couple of days ago, about a week ago, that he spoke to a dog. And the dog told him that Ukraine is never gonna give up. A Jack Russell Terrier from Ukraine's state emergency services. That's who Rutte spoke with. That's the dog that Rutte spoke with. And he said, "I even looked the dog in the eye, and he told me, we will never give in," Rutte said, as he argued for more support for Kiev. He went on to say that the conflict has cost Russia many lives, urging Kiev's Western backers to make sure Ukraine has the offensive stuff they need to hit whenever they need to hit whatever they need to hit in Russia. So that's Rutte. And there was a meeting at the German House in Munich. And it was a meeting of the E3, the now defunct E3. And you can tell that the E3 is done. the E3 is over because Starmer and Mertz, they were in front of the press. They were taking photos of the meeting with the E3 at the German House in Munich, and Macron was late, but he runs into the meeting to get his photo with his other E3 bandmates. Looks like Macron has not realized that he's been replaced by Meloni. But anyway, he runs in, and you can tell that Merz doesn't even acknowledge his presence. Macron pats Merz on the shoulder. I'm here, man. Let's take a photo as the E3, the band is back together. Let's take some photos and answer some questions. And you could tell that Merz was just completely cold to Macron. Someone should tell Macron that he's out. He's no longer the lead singer. It's Meloni. Meloni at lead vocals. Lead vocals, Giorgia Meloni of the E3. Bass guitar, Keir Starmer. And on the drums, BlackRock Merz. Anyway, that's the video, everybody. TheDuran.locals.com. We are on Rumble, on X, on Telegram. Go to the Duran shop, pick up some merch, like what I'm wearing in this video update. And also check us out on Substack. There's a link to our Substack in the description box down below. I will see everyone tomorrow. Take care.